saints. All the others are somewhere else. Only saints. Now, Deuteronomy 4. Turn to Deuteronomy 4. What I see in the Old Testament is the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm sure I'm rare in that, but I don't see the law. I don't understand that the law is permanent. The law is not. It's temporal. It only lasts as long as earth lasts, but then the law will be gone. And so Jesus already said to the Jewish people, people of Israel, that your house is desolate. And he did that when he came to the fig tree before his death and resurrection. He said, I came at the time of figs in the spring, right now. I came at the time that the figs should be there, but I only saw leaves. In other words, I saw religion. I didn't see a relationship with Jesus. So, because you can't produce good works, you cannot. When it's done, it's actually done by Jesus for you. And then he works that in you, and then he perfects that in love. So, those are the three parts of the atonement. Those are always the three parts of the atonement. Forgiveness of sins, cleansing from all unrighteousness, and then perfecting you in love, faith, and hope, then disappear. Because now you'll be able to see Jesus. That's at the second coming, not today. Not today. So that perfection won't come until all the sin is removed from every Christian. From everyone that believes in Jesus, as soon as he comes back, the nanosecond that he comes back, you'll have a new body and a new soul to go along with your new heart. You already have the new heart. So you're already have eternal life, but only in your heart, because your soul is full of sin, and therefore you cannot produce a good work if you're full of sin. The sin will then destroy the good work you thought you were doing, but you cannot. And even for all eternity, it will never change. God is good, and God remains God. You were not made to be God. You were made to be like God. Like is similarity. In other words, because he did it for you and in you and through you. To God be the glory. So that is the gospel right there. The glory is that your good works will never get anyone to heaven, certainly you. You cannot go to heaven by your good works because you can't do any. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And that's John 15, verse 5. So if apart from him, you can do nothing, what if you're in him? Well, then you can do all things. Because Christ did them. You didn't do them. You thought you did them. You thought you were doing it, but God alone is the only one that's good, Jesus said. God is good, and no one else is good but God. So even though you're a new creation, your new creation is Christ in you. You're not you anymore. You used to be you, but you're no longer your former self. You are now a new creation, kine katesis, and new, it's just not new, like I lost my ball, here's another one. This one is new of a totally different kind, not natural, not part of this world. Remember Jesus said to Pilate, my kingdom is not of, no part of this world. In other words, nothing in this world will survive. You need to know that, because soon you'll be in heaven, which is your eternal home. And then you'll come down to have a new heaven and a new earth with only the righteous people. All the rest will be in the eternal, everlasting darkness, they'll be in the lake of fire. And fire is how the water is how the old world was destroyed in 1656 from the world's beginning. And that is, he put a rainbow in the sky to say, this will be a sign to you that I'll never flood the world again. The next time it will be fire. And so the fire is how those that don't have faith like we do, everyone here has faith in Jesus Christ, otherwise you wouldn't be here. You're only here because you have faith that Jesus spoke the truth which sets you free to now be able to produce good works, but you didn't do it. You have to give God all the glory. Soli Deo Gloria. So since that's the case, even though it looks like you did something, you didn't did it. Actually, Jesus did it, and he wants all the glory. But like a good father, like a good Lord, he actually will just let you inherit that for free. Doesn't want you to earn it. He wants you not to earn it. The Jewish people thought they could earn God's favor. They could do God's will. They could please God by doing something decent and kind. No, you cannot do anything without a relationship with Jesus Christ. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So your old self has to die first before your new self comes forward. And so I'm going to show you in the Old Testament, underneath the law, beneath the law, hidden beneath the law, is the gospel. So everything that Jesus taught in the New Testament is much older than the Old Testament. In fact, it was done before the foundation of the world. Not from that moment, before that moment. Before there was only God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and the holy angels. There was no one else. But when he created this world, then he created it in such a way that he didn't want you to do good works as long as you had sin. So the only reason he's living in you now is to remove that sin. So if you don't confess your sins every single day, you say, well, I think I'm past my sin. No, you're not. So all of those Ten Commandments, and we'll read those another time, but all those Ten Commandments, you have not conquered all of them. So since Jesus conquered those for you, you have to believe in him. You have to have faith that he did it, and he's still doing it until you are spirit-filled, spirit-led, spirit, born of the Spirit, filled with the Spirit every day, led of the Spirit every day. Now, if you say today, I'm done with sin, you cannot be done with sin. Because only God can do that. Only God can give you a new heart. Only God can give you a new soul. Only God can help you to then be led of the Holy Spirit. Then you're a son of God or a bride of Christ. God mixes up his metaphors because he's not bound like we are. And in heaven, there'll be no marriage. There'll be no marriage in heaven. Except one. The day that we marry Jesus Christ as a company, as a great, glorious church. And on that day, you can't be obligated to any other God. You can't be obligated to any other power, dominion, any other force, natural or supernatural. You only have one love. God is a jealous God, and he doesn't want anyone in heaven to have any other mistress on the side or, you know, master on the side. Can't have two masters. And the church today is already on its way. We're in the way right now. We're on the way to heaven. And it's guaranteed for us. You cannot miss it as long as you keep your faith in him. And don't be God, be like God. Don't be God, be like God. But only God can be like God because God is God. And so God, when he works the works in you, that's his joy. That's his joy, is to work it for you because he's a good father. He's a good son. He's a good savior. He's a good Lord. He's a good bridegroom. And so when Jesus comes back again, you will marry the Lord Jesus. All of us will be part of the bride, which means you'll be pure and spotless, no wrinkles, no blemishes, no iniquities, no... You'll be unblameable before God, innocent again. Not like Adam and Eve, innocent with the potential to sin. No. You'll be now married to Jesus Christ under his law. That's different than just a new covenant. The new covenant is not the gospel. The new covenant for Israel is different than our new covenant based on Jesus Christ as our cornerstone, as our beloved. And if you were Jewish, you'd have to then be converted so that your sins were removed by Jesus Christ. He's the only one that's a Savior. There is no other. There is no other name given in heaven and earth by which your sins can be removed except by the man of God, which is the Son of God. Amen. So, unfortunately today, I say this humanly, unfortunately today, many people do not teach what I'm about to teach because they read the Old Testament by the letter of the law. When you read it by the letter, it leads to death. But if you read it by the Spirit of the living God, and only we are born of the Spirit, Christians, true Christians, and you can be born of the Spirit, but then you could fall away. You could apostatize. You could fall away because you could be witchcrafted, Galatians 3, 1 and 2. But none of you will be because you're hearing the Word of God. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. But you could be witchcrafted. So the devil's trying everything he can to make you do a good work and that you'd take credit for it. You'd have pride in yourself that you could do something to please God. But he said these words, I'm not among you as one to be served. I'm among you to serve what you can't do. I'm among you to love you as my neighbor and my wife. I'm going to marry you. So you let me then make this atonement because he is now the high priest. He is now the high priest. You can read that in the 8th chapter of Hebrews and so on. So since you changed the priest, you changed the law. Now, today, the world is not experiencing that change to a full extent. It's partly there. It's in the words. All men have a natural and indefeasible right to worship God according to the dictates of their own conscience and so on. That's in the Bill of Rights for Texas. But the other states are not quite where we are. All other states may have Christians among them, but it's actually our Bill of Rights. And it's written because we were 60-some years after the Declaration of Independence and so on. And so we learned a thing or two about that. And we learned that people can be a natural and indefeasible right, you can have that, to worship Almighty God according to the dictates of your own private, individual conscience. Communists do not believe in that. Socialists do not believe in that because they believe you're just part of a collective. And everything is done today in our government right here in America. It's an age of entitlement. People have invented new rights which are not natural and which are not scriptural. They completely are eliminating Christianity from our way of life. And the Democrats now are more powerful than the Republicans. I don't know if you know that. I'm not talking about numbers. I'm talking about their passion for introducing something anti-Christian. So it's not a surprise if you are paying attention. And so they could well win. And you'd have to say something like this. Well, I'm a Christian, so I'm going to lift my head on high. Because it says, when you see these things happening, lift your head up. Do not look down. Don't fret because of evildoers. God has it all in total design. So you cannot this time weaken from the devil, try to witchcraft you. No, Don't pay any attention to the culture. Culture will never get anyone to heaven. Everything in this world, everything will pass away, be burned with fire. Everything. Until there's a new heaven and a new earth. And so God has designed it. This is not what you want to hear. It's the truth. This is the truth. Is you cannot produce good works. Catholics do, Muslims do, Buddhists do, Hindus. All other religions are under a law. You are not under law, you're under grace. You're under grace. What Jesus did, no one else in the world could do. You can't copy it. What Jesus did is say, I'm going to pay full price. This will be a perfect sacrifice. When I die, shed my blood on a Roman crucifixion, that will finish everything for a new heart. And if you become disciples, chair 5, if you become a disciple, then you won't be witchcrafted. So it's hard to talk people into dying. I don't know if you noticed that. People do not want to die. I've suffered enough. I've suffered plenty. I don't want any more. So that's a human response. That's your flesh talking, by the way. You can recognize it by the fact that it's complaining and griping and moaning when you should be worshiping the true and living God and loving your neighbor as yourself. So lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. So when you see those things happening, laugh. Do not like, oh, the bad guys are now ruling. Oh, the world's going to fall apart. Ugh, it'll never fall apart. God has already guaranteed this world will never, ever disappear until he ends it. And that's after he lifts up all the kingdoms of this world, which he's cleansed, and give them to the Father. So if you read all of the Bible, not some of it and not some of it one time, you have to keep reading it every day, then you'll realize every question has an answer. And the answers are all in the Bible. They're all there. They're not in any other book. They're not in the Quran. They're not in any other doctrine or teaching from any other god, because there are no gods. There's never been any other god. There's only been Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Elohim. The im on the end is plural. So when it says in the Bible, Barashit, bara, Elohim, that third word is a plural. So it doesn't say, in the beginning, God. No, no, no. It's in the beginning, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, the Jews can't say that. They won't say that. They refuse to say it. And it's okay. It doesn't send them to hell because they don't say it. I'm just simply saying they don't believe that. They believe God is one. Yes, he is one, because the Father always agrees with the Son, who always agrees with the Holy Spirit, who always agrees with the Father, who always agrees with the Son, and so on. So you can name any other religion, all the gods disagree with each other. They're just human. They're man-made. They're worth nothing. And so all those other religions are just man-made. They're totally man-made. Unless you're God-wrought, unless God makes you a new creation, no one else could. Amen. No one else could make you new heart. No one. So now that you have a new heart, that gives you the faith that you have to trust in God. Make your trust not in man, make your trust not in princes, but make your trust in the Lord. Psalm 118, 7 and 8. So that's the absolute middle of the Bible. You can divide the Bible right there at that juncture. And you have then the Old Testament, which is 3/4 of the Bible, and the New Testament, which is a small portion of the Bible. Because we're going to be a remnant. A remnant is something valuable, like the carpet, but it's just a remnant that's thrown away. So you're a leftover. You're what's left over. You're what was. But it's perfect, because you are in relationship to God, who saved you, who redeemed you, who rescued you, who paid the price for you. So your dowry has been paid when he hung on the cross. And he paid for you forever and ever and ever. So if you think there's only a few people that will make it because we're remnant, the truth is it's numberless. So yes, it's not anything like those that perish. But those that perish will be numerous, but you who are a remnant will be righteous, holy, perfect. And only God can do that. So when I'm going to read now, I'm going to read the fourth chapter. This is a powerful thing. And remember, I'm going to read it to you as the gospel hidden under this law. So Deus, that's God in Latin, absconditus, that is the hidden God. So he hides himself underneath the law. He always hides himself under the opposite. So it says a law and a command, but it's actually a promise. Actually. Chapter 4. Now therefore, hearken, O Israel. This is Moses speaking. Hearken, remember when Moses said, a prophet he will raise up in the last days. He's speaking then 1,500 years before Jesus. So he's talking about that in the last days. O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments. In other words, listen to me. I am the one that Moses wrote upon in the law. John 5:39. And if you keep going, it'll say, if you had believed Moses, if you had listened to Moses, you would now believe my words. But you didn't, Jewish people. You didn't. He's talking about the Jewish people. So the Jewish people have not heard. Now, there are all kinds of Jewish people, but some are Orthodox, meaning they follow it by the letter, looking for the Spirit, but they can't find it because they're not born again by Jesus Christ. And you can't be born by anyone else. You're either natural, flesh, or you are not. You're born of the Spirit. That's the only two groups there are in the whole world. So since you're part of the truth, which sets you free from the law of sin and death, then there's no condemnation for you. You cannot die. You cannot die if you believe, not what I'm saying, but if you believe the Bible that I'm about to read from the New Testament, because it's older than everything else in this world. There's nothing like it. God said to Jesus Christ, this day I have begotten you. That's later. But at this time, he was slain from the foundation of the world. Before there was a world, before there was an earth, before anything was here, he already determined everybody's life from that moment. So you might think it'll take an eternity for him to see all your sins. It doesn't. He can see them. He's always seen them. And he always has them in mind. But he loves sinners, though he hates sin. All he wants to do is get rid of your sin so you can live forever. All he wants to do is get rid of every sin. So that's why you have to read the Bible every day, because it will show you more and more sin. So every day you read it and realize, I'm not like that. I say I love Jesus with all my heart and soul and strength, but sometimes I get distracted, or sometimes I get angry, or sometimes I get, you know, frustrated and so on and so forth. It's okay. You can just confess it. Don't confess it. Say, Lord, I just did this sin and I won't do it again. Don't say that. Just simply say, because all he asked for is confess. Homologeo, that means say the same thing God just said. You still have sin in your heart, or not in your heart, because your heart is perfect, because he made it. But in your soul, you need to die. So the soul is your death, and that's how you can love your neighbor as yourself. If you still loved yourself, you would not be able to love the neighbor. Did you hear what I just said? If you love yourself like you love God with all your heart and soul and strength, and love your neighbor as you wish other people would love you, as God has loved you, you should be like that. So Christians actually do good works, but you do them after faith, not prior. So you don't do them under law, you do them by grace. Grace is simply a word that means favor. In the Greek, it's charis, like Kara, our firstborn daughter. Her name is then exactly the favor that you get from God, because he's gracious. And when he favors you, he can't curse you. So when he said in the Bible, blessed be Shem, Ham, and Japheth, They have to be equally blessed because he blessed each one. He didn't say just the Jewish people. No, he didn't say that. Or just the, Caucasians. He didn't say that. He didn't say anything about that. But the black people, because they were born of Ham, they also are blessed the same as us. And since you don't see it today, never go by what you see. We live by faith, not by sight. Don't see anything. All you want to see is this word. What he's saying in this first verse is this. Because hear, O Israel, the statutes, the decrees, the words that come out of God's mouth. In other words, man shall not live by bread alone. How many know you do not live by bread alone? But 99%, 99.999% of people live by bread alone. All they're interested in is their belly. All they're interested in them being satisfied. All they're interested in is their own happiness, their own joy. But it's only in the Word of God that you receive all those things. You do live by bread, but not alone. But by every word that is constantly coming out of the mouth of God. Every day, we need to eat more word and less bread. Or you can have the bread to sustain you. That he says, you have bread, but it's not just that. What you really need, because that will not take you to heaven. That bread will not take you to heaven. So the fact that you're alive and healthy doesn't mean anything. Only thing is this word. So Christians don't eat enough word. But if you have Bible studies in your home, I was talking with Danny about that. Now start a Bible study in your home. Because when you read the Bible every day, it convicts you so that you don't have pride and you don't have self-confidence. You have Jesus confidence. You're just totally relying on Jesus, not on yourself. There's no realizing yourself and, being yourself and so on. That will get you nowhere. So what you want is put all of your faith, all of your trust, all of your reliance on Jesus Christ. So we need more food, just Word of God. Jesus is the Word of God. He is the living Word of God. And if you eat more of that, you'll be healthy. And you'll be blessed, and you'll be favored, and everything will go your way. Doesn't mean that you'll see it. You don't see it. You don't see what you're about to inherit. You don't see it. Abraham never saw it. That's why he's the father of faith. He saw only a cave that he bought, the cave of Machpelah. That's all he saw to bury his wife. And he's buried there, and I've been there. He's buried there, and his wife Sarah's there, and Jacob is there, and all these people are there except for Rachel. Rachel died in the Jerusalem area, and she's buried there. But she's the only one. All of the others are there. Joseph is there. His bones are there. Everything is there. So all of the saints of the Old Testament, and remember, Moses was faithful to preach the law or teach the law or explain the law or, make decisions based on the law. But Joshua is the one that took them in. Joshua was the same word as Jesus. If it were translated into English, it was Moses brought them to the point, but he stayed on the other side, the east side of the Jordan, but never crossed over, died in Moab, just as Aaron died in Moab. And they're buried up there. And you can't find their graves because he hid them. Just like he hid the gospel under the law. God is a hider. You could read Job. If I go for the right hand, you'll hide it. If I go for the left hand, you'll hide it. So I can't get you. But if you just come down here, God, Job said, get down here. And all of a sudden, God showed up in a whirlwind. And he said, I'd like to ask you a question. Where were you when I created the world? Were you there when I created the giraffe? What's a giraffe? No, I don't even know what that is. And so he was fooling him. Were you there when I made the snowflake? Did you know that no two snowflakes are alike?
Yeah, that's
just like your, you know, fingerprint. There's nothing like your fingerprint. It's just unique. And there are all kinds of things in this world that are unique, that there's nothing else like it. And so there's nothing like a hippopotamus and, you know, whatever. And God said, "What were you there when I hooked Leviathan?" I don't remember that part. Yeah, no, you weren't there. You weren't there. And he put the hand on his mouth and said, "Wow, I think I didn't think God will show up on the earth." That's why Jesus showed up on the earth. I didn't think God would come down. I thought I had to go up. I had to do good work and work my way up to God. No, he went down and met me on my level. So his tent, his tabernacle, tent means tabernacle. It's not a temple. His tent is movable, and all of a sudden it stops being movable. But for right now, he's continuing to work among us to get rid of all our sin. So the perfect temple, the perfect tent, is in heaven. It's a model for everything on earth. And if you don't copy this, and America did copy this for an extent, but not perfectly, that's why we're in trouble today, because we didn't know how to keep it. Remember, Benjamin Franklin said to Mary outside in 1776, "So, what kind of government did you give us?" No, we didn't give you a government that you get to decide that. But what we've given you is imperfect. It's not perfect. If you can keep it. Well, has the experiment failed? Will America go down the drain? You have to ask yourself the question. Will America be like any other country in the world? No. At least not Texas. So, I don't know if you think that was funny, but I thought that was funny. Because we're the belt of the buckle, you know, kind of thing. You know, this is where it's at. And so we are slowly being degraded, but it's not over with yet. It's not over until God says it's over. So America still could be a model for the rest of the states, because they're in trouble. The whole country is in trouble. Back in 1964, they passed a thing called the Civil Rights Act. And from that moment on, we've been on the downgrade. And that's why you're not in charge anymore. That's why there's two constitutions now. One constitution is 1887, the original constitution, and here, 1836. Did I say that right? 1787. That's the original one. I'm getting old.
It's all right. So are we.
But, so... The other constitution is what began in the 60s. That was the time of Kennedy. And here in Texas, you experienced that. And a guy from Chicago came down from the mafia in Chicago, and I know his name. I know who he is. I know his story, because I come from a mafia background. And a Chicago guy came down and had to get permission from the mafia here to be able to be one of the shooters. And he's the one that actually killed Kennedy, that you see in the magazine where his brains were blown apart. And because of that, this world is full of evil people. But the Bible says, fret not, don't worry about evil people. Just do what I told you to do, nothing. And worship God with all your heart and soul and strength. Thank you, praise you, adore you. And love your neighbor as yourself. And I'll do that too. I'll do both of those for you. And then I'll protect you. I will see to it that you survive. So we're about to lose it. It's always good before you lose something to find out what it was supposed to be in the first place. So you go back and read the founders of America. You read the founders of Texas. and it's a marvelous story of God. Today's textbooks don't reflect it. Today's textbooks are written by liberals. Exactly where I was trained. Exactly. And I wanted to be degree after degree after degree after degree so that I would have 7 PhDs. That was my goal. And God spoke to me, but I didn't believe in God at that time, but he spoke to me and said, vanity of vanities, all is vanity, my first year in seminary at Yale. And when that happened, I realized my life was going to change. In that moment, I didn't believe in God at all. I didn't want a God. But in that moment, I knew he was calling me. Everything that you do is vain. Well, I always knew that. I always knew that philosophically. But now, it didn't touch my heart, but it caused me to tremble. Wow. If there is a God, I'm a mess because I have not lived a godly life. And I'm going to have to change my whole life. So it did touch me in that sense that it caused me to realize if there is a God, I'm messed up. I'm completely destroyed. Have any of you ever been in that boat before when you realize, uh-oh, even one sin will keep you out. I've got about a gabillion, and I always lied and cheated, stole, and so on and so forth. But he said, you know, you're not ready for heaven. So you better find out if there's a God. And that began a search, because then I still finished some more degrees heading for all those 7 degrees, and that would be easy because I do 2 at a time. And I already had the background. But that changed my life forever. So when now I read these scriptures, I know all of this is hidden in the Old Testament, which says, "Hear, O Israel." In other words, if God wants to speak, if God can speak to you, David, if God can speak to you, you can't speak except what God spoke to you. In other words, your will is completely gone when God wills. As soon as God wills and he says, "Hear my words and do them," that destroys my ability to do anything. Because he's saying where to put Jerusalem. He's saying this is the place, and so on and so forth. He's making all the decisions. It doesn't make me do anything because he's in charge of everything. He sees everything, knows everything, has answers for everything. So that means my life is nothing. Like John the Baptist, I must decrease for him to increase, he said of Jesus. Since I must decrease to be a nothing, apart from me you can do nothing, and you are nothing, and you have nothing, everything is a gift that I gave to you. And you have to answer for that gift. Once God speaks, I can't speak except his words. All I can do is repeat what he did. I can be like him, but I can't be him. So do you realize you have a God that wants to speak to you every single day? Are you aware of that?
Yes.
Every day, he doesn't want you just to read the Bible. He wants you to live that Bible every day. And so he wants to say, and he can even use your name. He knows your name. He knows every sheep by name. He knows your name, and he can speak to you and say, you know, I want you to do this today, or I want you to stop doing what you're doing, and whatever. And when he does that, you can't move. You have no moves. It's checkmate. It's over. So once God speaks, you're now obligated to live for that God. I don't care what people think. They're wrong. God is God, and there can't be any other. This is the only true God. And all your righteousness is a filthy rag. Everything that you do is completely, that's Isaiah 60, verse 6. It has a lot more to say than that. It's powerful. It's saying that God is the only actor in the universe. There isn't anyone else. So you have to deal with God with your sin, and you just go to God and say, "I've sinned. You know, I've sinned and done that which is evil in your sight," Psalm 51. And you know, you're the only one that can forgive. You're the only one that can cleanse. You're the only one that can perfect. You're the only one that can give me a new heart and then a new soul and then a new body. That's the gospel that's hidden under these words. So whenever God speaks, that means you can't. When he speaks, you only can respond to what he says by faith. If you do it in any other way, it will not be acceptable. O Israel, unto the statutes, unto the judgments which I teach you. So this is something God is the only actor teaching you, for to do them. But that's actually a promise. That you may live and go in and possess the land, Canaan, which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish anything from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Now, do you realize what's being said here? That you actually have to keep the Old Testament command because it's actually a promise. Now, if you didn't know that, and if you didn't read it very carefully, by the fear of God, when God speaks, you better pay attention totally to what your Father says, to what the God of heaven and earth says to you. You actually will do what the Jewish people can never do because they don't have any faith in God. They have faith in the law. And John 5, 39 says this, that Moses wrote down in the law all these things, but I prophesied that another prophet, don't listen to me as giving the law. Listen to that prophet. I replaced them. Not replacement theology. That's a different thing. I replace them. I nullify them because no Jewish person ever kept any laws at all, ever. They perform, but it's external. And they only have a religion that you can see. Everything is visible. But our religion, you can't see anything except the Word of God. The only thing he left us is the Word of God. Now you live by every word. Every, not some, all. Every word that proceeds. That's why years ago, before I was born, before 1940, before I was born, before 1939, when I was conceived, families used to read the Bible. The father of the home actually was told in America to read the Bible. And all the wars we've gone through and so on, if you had read the Bible, they might not have happened. But America was already polluted by the 1920s. The flappers or whatever they were. What they were? Yeah, the Roaring Twenties. And because in Europe was doing it, the same in Hitler. Hitler couldn't have taken over Germany except for that. They were all polluted. They were all kinds of beastly things were happening. So the whole 20th century is full of tyrants who are vicious, who want you to not have any life. And they're all wanting to destroy America. Now they're about to. And they're hoping, they're praying that we'll disappear. How many know we won't? But you have to know that you have a God. And so he has to have some country or some state or some city that belongs to him. Why? Because he says he's going to judge them. So he is the governor of Texas. He's the governor of every nation. He's the governor of everything that's going on. Don't think he's just the creator. He's also the redeemer and he's also the governor. I mean, he is in charge of everything. And nothing in this world can ever go against him. He'll always get his way. He has never lost one battle, though you think you have because you're trying to look at things. Don't look. Read. Don't. You got to eat this word rather than look at, you know, what it appears to be. Appearance is just appearance. And all appearance will fade away. It's all speculation. Everything that's being done in business, everything that's being done here is just rubbish. Because it will never go to heaven. You can be as rich as you want. You can be as powerful as you want. But it'll all fade away. But someday, you'll be sitting on the throne of God. That's my job, to make sure that you understand the gospel. You don't have to like it. You just have to hear it. Faith cometh by hearing. If you say, I want to be a man of God, I want to be a woman of God, that'll happen. So, let's say it. That's how it happens. You just say it. Now, maybe you didn't believe in it. I don't care. Because he doesn't go by your feelings or thoughts or anything else. He just goes by your words. So you just say it. God, I want to be. And I raised my kids that way. I said, look, I want you to be a woman of God, every little kid. I want you to be a man of God, David. And that's it. And then I don't want anything else. If you just do that, God will be pleased and I'll be pleased as a parent. Because I want, that's what I want. And so I made that very clear from the moment they were old enough to understand and have some words and so on. It's all I want. In other words, it's easy to please me because all I want is one thing. Be a woman of God. Be a man of God. And just do what your father says. That was a joke. Because I didn't expect my kids to be any different than I was. But you know what? They are. And it's amazing because they're all believers. And my grandchildren are all believers. Wow. That's powerful because I believe these words are true and this truth sets you free. Not according to the letter, which kills. According to the Spirit, which gives life. Eternal life. When you read these words, they have eternal life. There's nothing in the Bible that doesn't have eternity in it. Everything here is eternity. So, you can't find it on the surface. You find it by hidden. You shall not add to a word which I command you, neither shall you diminish anything from it. You must keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. And we are doing that right today. So God wants us to hear his word and realize his word in the Old Testament is exactly teaching the gospel. Moses was a teacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You don't know that because we always think of him as being the law giver because he was the law receiver and then he gave it out. Nuh-uh. He actually was only teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was teaching, and that's why Jesus said today in 5:39, he wrote of me. You're searching the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is they that bear witness to me. And then he said, if you had believed Moses, if you had listened to Moses, you would now believe my words. And because not, I curse the fig tree because there's no fruit in Israel. Nothing. So you cannot be an Israeli and go to heaven. Did you hear what I just said?
Yeah.
I said something very strong. You cannot be an Israeli and go to heaven. You would have to be a faith man under Abraham. Those do. And they will make it. Who does that? God. We didn't do anything for our salvation. They didn't do anything for theirs. But I guarantee you, they will make it. Why? Malachi 3:3. You just read that. And it'll tell you that in the end, Israel will make the perfect sacrifice. It's just in the third chapter. And that means after they're slaughtered by all kinds of bad people, the priests will come out of that and be delivered and never do anything but keep what God wants in the first place. In other words, God always gets what he wants. So if he created you to be a steward, a trustee, if he created you to be someone who would account to God every day for what you do, because there's judgment today and there's judgment final. The final judgment will be what you do between the judgment today and that final one. This is not the final one. The final one is everyone will be raised from the dead who's died in the sea. Whatever, you'll be raised from the dead and you'll stand before the great white throne judgment and there you'll get your final destiny. But it'll be based on the fact that God already knows who's there. I mean, it isn't like, let's see, I don't remember you. No, He knows everybody by name. He knows everything about you. It's interesting. This week I met nine Fort Worth officers and detectives and so on because of the car. And then I went over to Mesquite, and that guy was a believer. This was a detective over there. And he said, "Oh, don't worry about it. We know everything about this guy." "Well, how do you know that?" "Well, because we go through all the records and so on. We know everything. So we know where he lives and everything." He had it, and the Fort Worth people don't have that. Because he did it over there, because he drove the car over there after he stole it. He went over there and banged it all up and smashed it and so on and so forth. And then he fell asleep in the car, and they saw him in the car. So he arrested him. But he says he's a juvenile. He said he was 19 to Peggy the night before, but we found out he's only 16. And we found out exactly his address and so on and so forth. So that guy over there says, "Hey, have your guy," because he said, I don't want to get into that guy's field. He said, "No, tell him I have everything they want." We didn't have to even wait for it. And so he knows everything about this guy. So it's just like God. He knows everything about everybody. He knows what your thoughts are. The secret things belong to God. The revealed things belong to us. But all we have is the secret things, but we can actually read the New Testament and understand what the Old Testament is saying, because it's the same thing. It's just Jesus. And everybody prophesied in the Old Testament. That's why I like reading the book of Deuteronomy, the second reading of the law, because it's much fuller than the first. And so now everyone here needs to make this commitment today. I don't mean you have to. I just mean you should. I want to be a godly woman. I want to be a godly man. And I want to serve God. I don't want to go, to the lake of fire. I want to be married to Jesus and rule and reign with him forever and ever and ever and ever. So you can say that to yourself. It's powerful. And when you do, you'll notice your sin more than you do today. Because today you're thinking, "I hope nobody finds out about that." Hope that, doesn't come up. Everything that you think you're doing hiddenly, God knows about. And everything, he knows everything about everything. And so God wants you to be a godly woman, Walter, a man.
Yes.
Godly man. And Teresa to be a godly woman. You're one. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Sorry about that. That's old age. What is your name? Yes, okay. Forget everything. I go into a room today and I say, "Peggy, why am I here?" I went to get something, but I forgot what it is. And so she feels she needs to outlive me so she can keep telling me what I'm supposed to be doing on a daily basis. I love it. There's Peggy way in the back. She's watching each of you. She has eyes in the back of her head, too. God is good. How many know this is a joyful message about the gospel? It's not a law thing that you have to do this, you have to do that. You couldn't do it if you had to. You can't. You're not even equipped for it. Jesus is the only one that does anything for God on earth. And he's still in your heart. He's not up in heaven. He's up in heaven, but he's also here in your heart. Latrice, he is right there. And he sees everything you're doing. He knows everything. But he's never going to judge your behavior. He's only going to judge your heart. Wow. That is amazing. Just my heart. My heart is knit to Jesus. How many here have a heart knit for Jesus? Yeah. Yeah. I'm okay. And there's no condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation. For what? Because you're in Christ. And if you're in Christ, you don't walk according to the flesh. You walk according to the Spirit. And the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. You're not even under that. If there's no law, there's no sin. If there's not a standard, there's nothing to measure you by, so there's no sin. You get rid of the law, you get rid of the sin. That's what people are trying to do today, get rid of God's law, natural law and His law. They're trying to get rid of that. You can't. They're immutable. You cannot destroy them. The natural law will still be there and until time ends. But it hasn't ended yet. That's why we're still here. Because He has to get the sin out of our life. He's not even working on the world. He's not even working on them. That's why Peggy and I pray for this young man. Because we not only know where he's from and so on and so forth, we know his whole story. He's living with an aunt over here and his mother's over here, but he can't stand his mother, so that's why he slept in the car. And all that kind of stuff. We know all of that, but only we know it. That's just like natural knowledge. But God knows everything about everything. And He knows, no, I'm going to keep, you still are part of this world, right? You're still part of this world. And you have to live in this world. You have to eat bread. But you need to eat more word and less bread. Bread will, is too much carbohydrates, especially if it's gluten, you know. So you need to eat good food here to stay alive, but that's just natural. But you also have to realize, and you have to pay your taxes and all that kind of stuff. God's for that. He's not against that. Don't worry. The bad guys won't win. You've already won. Now, how can you lose when you've already won? Everything is going your way. Woo! Glory! This is good news. And I want you to have the same joy that all of us have, because that's for you today. Don't save it for heaven. Do it right now. Praise God now. So David, you need to have Bible study in your home. Yeah. It can be just a verse or two. And that's all. But it's okay. But read the scripture every day because it's powerful. We used to do that when there were kids going to school. We used to say scripture verses, you know, and they learn it. But that's a good way to do it. All right. God is good. Obo, can you give us a good prayer? A God-like, God-wrought prayer. Yes. No, not our will, yours. Amen. Woohoo! Glory.